Hi, this is Sally, and welcome to Reclaiming Pride, LGBT plus survivors of narcissistic abuse. Before we start, there is a trigger warning. The episodes of this podcast may at times refer to domestic violence, emotional, financial, and sexual abuse. To begin, I'd like us to start with a one-word feelings check. What's one word for how you are feeling today? Not how anyone else is feeling, or how anyone you're taking care of is feeling, but how are you feeling today? In one word. This week, we're going to be looking at the different types of narcissists that there are. So narcissism, like any other personality disorder, occurs on a spectrum to different degrees. It also occurs in different forms, and these can include grandiose, malignant, covert manipulative, communal, and benign. So let's start by kind of with a mental image, if you like. If you can picture a continuum of toxic and invalidating people, if you were to go from the left to the right, it would look something like this. So to the far left, the first one, you would have people who are simply entitled and acting pretty benign, yet still slightly narcissistic. Next, a little further to the right, you would have the communal narcissist. So this would be the type of person who's very public about their charity work, for example, always saving someone, and yet who they are behind closed doors is a completely different person and somewhat monstrous. Then you have your covert narcissist. Now, these people can be hypersensitive and fragile. They will likely interpret and overinterpret everything you say and do as an attack upon them, whether it's meant that way or not, and most of the time it isn't. Then we come to what most people feel is the classic narcissist, the grandiose narcissist. So many people think that the grandiose narcissist is all there is to narcissism, which in and of itself is a problem and extremely invalidating for people who have been in relationships with narcissists all across the spectrum. So grandiose narcissists are antagonistic, arrogant. They can appear overly confident and are often boastful. Then we come to the malignant narcissist. So in my mind, perhaps the most dangerous of the narcissistic traits of all, malignant narcissism is a virulent expression of NPD. What makes them, in my mind, even more dangerous is that sometimes they can be exhibitionist or grandiose, and sometimes they can be covert and manipulative. And it really just depends on the situation, and it depends who is watching. Finally, on the far right of this spectrum at the end, you find antisocial personality disorder, sociopaths, your common or garden psychopath, basically. So as you can see, malignant narcissism is really as close as you can get in NPD until you start to scratch the surface and merge into what is diagnosable as psychopathic. As you can see, this is a way of looking at NPD as a kind of spectrum. So what we're going to do is take a look at each of these different types of narcissist. And as we do that, I want you to pay close attention because you might find your particular flavor of narcissist in amongst all of these different types. Before we delve into the different types of narcissists within the spectrum of NPD, I think it's important to note that all narcissists will exhibit the following behaviors to one extent or another. All of the following traits that I'm going to list now appear in all of the different manifestations of narcissistic personality disorder. So what that means is, regardless of what kind your narcissist is, you will probably recognize some or all of the following traits. People with NPD are hypersensitive, often to perceived slights that actually don't exist. They lack empathy for the feelings or well-being and needs of others. They can sometimes have delusions of grandeur. They're highly intolerant of any criticism, even if it is very constructive, and this will still be seen as a threat. They expect special treatment. They will bend and break rules as they believe that they are above the rules. Rarely, if ever, do they apologize. Rarely, if ever, will they say thank you and mean it. Then their self-esteem comes from the ways in which they associate with high-status people, institutions, systems, causes, beliefs, and people. They will punish you if they perceive that you are depriving them of what they deserve, and that includes your narcissistic supplies, so that can also include your trauma. They live in a distorted reality and will attempt to distort yours through gaslighting and other ways of distortion. They will always be fighting with someone. They will never be at peace. They triangulate in order to control and undermine others and peaceful communication. They will divide and conquer. They're constantly involved in an activity called splitting. So splitting means black and white thinking, basically. They will both scapegoat and idealize others, even the same person, within the space of 24 hours. They routinely violate boundaries. They see vulnerability and empathy as weakness. They overreact to disappointment, their own, of course. They demand perfection. They objectify other people. They have extreme and destructive and defensive rage. They believe they are always right. So in other words, their opinion is the only legitimate one. They expect others to read their mind and know exactly what their needs are and what they want. And if the other person does not do this, they will be punished and told that they do not care. They have a lack of interest and are bored by things that do not serve them. And this includes their loved ones. So if you've recognized any of those traits cut across all of the spectrum of NPD. So let's take a look at the different kinds of narcissists that there are. Let's start with the first one we mentioned earlier, which is the really entitled person, which then kind of merges into the benign narcissist. So entitlement is a very visible trait. It could be someone yelling at a server in a restaurant or being rude to a receptionist when they feel they should not have to wait like everybody else. You may have read before or heard before that one of the red flags with a person is watching the way they treat waitstaff in a restaurant. For example, I noticed that my ex always used to treat the waitstaff in restaurants really terribly. She also used to treat shop assistants, anyone doing any work on the house, taxi drivers, anyone like that with utter contempt for absolutely no reason. This is a complete red flag of a toxic person. Honestly, our culture and its structure in many ways really is aligned with entitlement. So for example, VIP lines at theme parks, first class airplane seats, and special lounges and waiting areas for these people. Note, entry into any of these spaces is usually not earned, it is bought. Entitlement from an emotional and psychological perspective is actually not good for someone. Their needs will get met in the short term, but entitled people can have significant difficulty with the word no, and this can lead to an erosion of other people's boundaries and lack of meaningful relationships in their future because people simply don't want to be around them. Entitlement can also manifest itself in self-righteousness. There's also religious abuse with an almost untouchable form of morality that they often have. You'll see this in some religious institutions and in the personalities of many cult leaders and also many megachurch leaders. If you recognize any of these traits to have been present in your particular narcissist, this doesn't mean that they are just simply an entitled person. What this means is that some of these traits are present in narcissism across the whole of the spectrum, from a relatively benign narcissist to a seriously severe entitlement that cuts across the whole of NPD. So now let's take a look at the next one, which is the benign narcissist. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, to be honest, it's unlikely that you would have had merely experienced a benign narcissist. Although what you would have experienced are some of the traits of a benign narcissist in your more severe narcissistic partner, co-worker, family member, or friend. See if you recognize any of this. Benign narcissists tend to be highly attention-seeking. In this case, it is often mistaken for histrionic personality disorder, or HPD. Like most severe narcissists, they also do lack empathy. However, this isn't necessarily experienced in a malignant, hurtful way. It's experienced with benign narcissists much more in a kind of cluelessness and childlike pretension. They talk about themselves constantly and really do lack the ability to deeply listen to anyone else other than themselves. You will find conversations with the benign narcissist that no matter what the conversation is, it will always end up being about them. They will always steer it that way and it will always kind of circle back to being about them. They do hold narcissistic traits, but in a much more mild manner. They lack the malignancy and toxicity of a grandiose narcissist or a malignant narcissist or a covert narcissist. A relationship with somebody who's a benign narcissist is likely to be, in a word, boring. It tends to be shallow, it can feel immature, and is often experienced as extremely one-sided. The way this plays out in regular life could be something like a parent who rarely, if ever, asks how their child is feeling, but actually cares deeply about what they're wearing. It could be the vacuous co-worker who wants everyone to know what brand of handbag they are bringing into work today and conversations rarely offshoot from that. It could be your partner who's the life and soul of any party, but actually cannot carry on a conversation much beyond the events of what happened this weekend. As you can hear, these folks are relatively harmless and innocuous, and yet they still do have some traits that cut across the whole spectrum of NPD. Now we go further towards the right-hand side of the spectrum with the communal narcissist. Again, you might recognize certain elements of the communal narcissist in your narcissistic person if you've ever experienced any of these traits. Communal narcissists usually have a very lively social media presence. They will frequently post in images and posts about them interacting with the quote-unquote less fortunate and draw attention to all of their charitable deeds, and they tend to use hashtags a lot, things like that. This is all to fish for validation from their followers, which they frequently do get. Communal narcissists are more likely to view themselves as helpful, benevolent, philanthropic, and true givers. They're also motivated by the same needs as narcissists across the NPD spectrum, however. Things like grandiosity, validation, self-aggrandizement are all present in the communal narcissist. They literally want to be seen as a living saint. They want to be seen as someone who puts other people first constantly, but as we know, with a narcissistic personality, this is not even possible. If others do not validate them or pay enough attention to their quote-unquote goodness, they may become passive-aggressive or even become extremely angry. Communal narcissists act like they care very much about things happening around the world and in other places, hurricane victims, starving people, cancer survivors, and yet in their own life, they have all of the usual toxic narcissistic traits, including massive detachment, a lack of empathy, entitlement, and rageful anger. This can be extremely difficult and demoralizing for a partner or a family member to one of these people, as they see a completely different person behind closed doors. The juxtaposition is incredible. It's now that we start getting into the darker side of the spectrum of NPD. Next is the covert, or sometimes termed vulnerable, narcissist. So covert narcissist, it's often not captured in a traditional way of measuring narcissism. Therefore, these people often fly under the radar, and yet they are no less dangerous than their grandiose counterparts. Covert narcissism can mostly be spotted by the classic narcissistic lack of empathy, the use of projection, they have entitlement, and most of all, hypersensitivity. They are arrogant, paranoid, passive-aggressive, resentful, and insecure people. They believe that the world owes them a favor, and this never ends. And because they will never be satisfied with anything they get, they maintain this anger at the world, this resentment, not only for strangers and the rest of the world, but also for their intimate partners and family members who are all to blame for the fact that they were never allowed to achieve their true greatness and their potential. So with covert narcissists, there's something called hostile attribution bias. This means that they overanalyze and overinterpret other people's motivations in behavior, communication, and action. This in turn makes them very hostile to be around. Covert narcissists are extremely hypersensitive to any form of criticism, whether it's constructive or otherwise. They will never let go of it, basically. They will mull over it, they will repeat it, and they will get into circular conversations with you about it that could go on for hours. Covert narcissists are also very contemptuous of other people. They tend to look down their nose at other people in a sneering way, and this can be experienced as cold and the person constantly being disagreeable, contrary, with a sense of superiority. Covert narcissism can be confusing because at first, a lot of these behaviors manifest as anxiety and depression, but on closer inspection and the more you get to know the person, the more you realize that this isn't just your common or garden form of anxiety or depression. This is somebody who is actually a covert narcissist. Perhaps you are or were with a covert narcissist. Do you recognize any of the following traits? A constant vying for control. Silent treatment and stonewalling and other forms of withholding behavior. Manipulation by using your own guilt against you. Flattering and nice behavior to others while treating those close to them terribly, often in the same room and at the same time. A form of fake innocence. juxtapose with the way they treat you, they will go above and beyond for those people that they idealize or look up to. They often humbly brag about all of the things that they have done for other people. They believe themselves to be victims of their exes or other people, including family members. They believe themselves to be constantly persecuted. They are often creating crisis situations in order to appear the victim. They have extreme schadenfreude. They take pleasure in other people's problems and tragedies. And actually, they might even find them funny. They will use smear campaigns against you when they are giving you the silent treatment or when the relationship is over. They are passive-aggressive and indirectly criticize you through implied blame and a lack of accountability for their own actions. They will unfavorably compare you to other people constantly. So those were some of the cardinal traits of a covert narcissist. However, you will see them in all people across the spectrum of narcissistic personality disorder. Now we come to the one that most people know about. Whether you've been in a toxic relationship with a narcissistic person or not, most people will be aware of the grandiose narcissist, sometimes called the exhibitionist narcissist. At first, this grandiose narcissist doesn't seem toxic at all. They can be charming, charismatic, fun, and even experimental. But scrape the surface, as you will do after a relatively short time of knowing them, and you will find someone who is arrogant, entitled, grandiose, and extremely superficial. Grandiose narcissists tend to measure their life success in material gain. So it could be possessions, money, followers, appearance, general markers of societal power. They will often be flouted as pillars of the community and appear to be extremely successful. Because they are so boastful and braggadocious, even if they are actually successful, we will often then assume that this is actual talent and actual ability that got them to where they are today. The truth is that this is rarely the case. Beware that a common error that people often make is that they confuse the confidence of grandiose narcissism with true confidence, and this is not what is happening. This person has a very powerful mask, and underneath it is the emotionally arrested toddler that they are trying to protect. True confidence is much more restrained and quiet. True confidence tends to be backed up with an accurate reading of one's own abilities and also the ability to listen to others and hear about their perspectives and their success. This never happens with a grandiose narcissist. They are not interested in other people other than what other people can do for them and their own self-image. Do any of these sound familiar to you? If they do, and if they are pervasive, then you may be living with or have been living with or associated with a grandiose narcissist. So to kind of break it down a little bit further, grandiose narcissists are prone to these kinds of behaviors. They have a constant need to attract attention to themselves and gain validation from doing so. They often make dramatic public displays. They are unashamedly arrogant. They demand attention, admiration, and agreement. If they do not receive this, they will easily fly into a rage. They engage in huge narcissistic rage episodes way beyond normal anger. They will make a scene in public. They will embarrass you in public, and they will damage public property. They are very charismatic and appear very benevolent in public. Then behind closed doors, they will be extremely abusive. They will never ask for help. They refuse help, and vulnerability is anathema to them. Their physical appearance is extremely important to them, and they lack the ability to listen and interrupt people constantly, and they claim to be an expert on everything and will not accept advice. They will lecture people unsolicited. They will bolster their own weak self-confidence by deriding and devaluing others, and they need perfection. Anything less is failure. Now we come to the most virulent and dangerous form of narcissism, malignant narcissism. This is the most extreme expression of narcissistic personality disorder. Psychologist Eric Frome coined the term malignant narcissist, and he described it as the root of the most vicious destructiveness and inhumanity. I have to tell you that as I'm looking more and more into malignant narcissism for the purposes of this podcast, I am literally looking at my ex as I read. I believe this is the form of NPD that she has. Many psychologists and clinicians view malignant narcissism as almost a hybrid disorder with traits that include paranoia, sadism, aggression, and sociopathy. Malignant narcissists tend to vacillate between being exhibitionists or grandiose and sometimes covert. They can change shape frequently, and this is extremely destabilizing for anyone who's in a relationship with somebody like this. You literally never know what you're going to get next. You don't know what you're going to wake up to. You don't know what you're going to come home to. And I remember all of this. Malignant narcissists often have sadistic traits, but are not necessarily pure sadists. They do enjoy willfully inflicting emotional pain, sometimes physical pain and humiliation on other people, especially the people closest to them. I remember after several violent episodes, a strange calm would come over my ex. It was extremely creepy and extremely unhinged. After one violent episode, I remember her starting to clean things up in the kitchen and putting things away while I was still on the floor. When I got up, she turned to look at me and had a smile on her face, and she looked extremely calm. By being violent and abusive, this person had attempted to drive away their deep-seated feelings of defectiveness and emptiness. By being physically violent, this is the ultimate form of narcissistic supply. Not only are they invading you emotionally, but they are also now invading you physically in a way that they know is wrong and they know they should not be doing. Malignant narcissists take you to the very edge and they simply leave you there. They will leave you shaken, betrayed, full of fear, manipulated, and devastated. Now you might be thinking, wow, this sounds like a psychopath. Well, you wouldn't be far wrong. The line that separates malignant narcissism from psychopathy is often very blurred. These people are dangerous and violent and usually behind closed doors and in all the ways that will be invisible to other people. Many people, after having been in a relationship with a malignant narcissist, suffer from PTSD and also CPTSD, which is complex post-traumatic disorder. A relationship with a malignant narcissist could leave you having acute anxiety, rumination, nightmares, and hypervigilance. The list goes on. I believe that they can even spark chronic diseases such as some forms of cancer. They keep you in the relationship fundamentally by the use of fear. You don't walk away mainly because you're actually extremely afraid. You fear their anger, their retribution, and their vindictive behavior. Even in their calmest moments, you were always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And this is extremely destabilizing and frightening until you leave. You are paralyzed. Do you recognize any of this? Here are some additional characteristics then that you may have found yourself dealing with. I know I did. A malignant narcissist will isolate a person or people from other forms of social or familial support. They will routinely ridicule and humiliate people in public and in private. They will study groups of people and individuals for their most vulnerable points and then attack them repeatedly. They refuse to follow rules or codes of conduct, seeing these as beneath them and stupid. They will engage in impulsive and calculated destruction. They have no respect for anybody else's boundaries, cultural, social, or taboo. They will use punishment and coercion to overpower other people. They sadistically enjoy making other people suffer, especially emotionally. They will intimidate, threaten, and interrogate, sometimes for hours, and cause pure terror. They will exploit any position of authority that they have in order to cause discord and dissent. And they have a constant, voracious need for control. Finally, they will justify all of this violent behavior for their own personal ends. So what we've just done there is looked at a complete spectrum of narcissistic personality disorder. What you probably heard were many traits that you have encountered with a partner, family member, co-worker, friend. You've probably heard them cross over between the different areas of the spectrum of NPD. As I said in an earlier episode, the four B cluster personality disorders intersect at various points, like a Venn diagram, with the four circles converging at different points. They overlap. In the same way, each of the B cluster personality disorders in and of itself is on a spectrum. So as you can see, narcissistic personality disorder is no exception to this. I really hope that by looking at NPD in this way, it's helped you to identify either what you were or perhaps are unfortunately living with right now. Knowledge is of course power, and the more you know, the more you will be able to help yourself. So I know that that was an awful lot of information. So what I'd like to do now is take a pause, and after this short break, we'll be back with a journal prompt on this week's topic. Hi and welcome back. And this week's journal topic is about you feeling safer. And here it is. List five things, people or places that make you feel safer. Once you've done this, write about why each of these helps you to feel safer. As always, I'd encourage you to read this journal entry out loud once you have written it, as this can feel extremely validating and further solidify your present truth. Also, if you feel comfortable enough, you could even share your journal entry with someone who you trust and who knows you very well and may even have known you while you were with the narcissist. Please note, this podcast is not intended to replace professional therapy or counselling. It serves as a supplementary resource for support and encouragement. Listeners, you are encouraged to seek professional help if needed. I did, and it works for me every day. Stay tuned, and I look forward to healing with you next time. Bye-bye.